So there's a little break in the Mesiva, the Purim Mesiva, so Masa Shabbos, Purim itself. I figured if I had the chance to share Torah before Purim to prepare for Purim, it's only appropriate to share a little bit of Torah on Purim itself. And also makes it an even 20. It's a little uncomfortable with 19 sections of 20. It's more of a round number. Just a thought I had over Shabbos, a couple of thoughts, but let's just share one of them for the sake of brevity. As I mentioned in some of the earlier Shiurim, Mordechai didn't have Ruach HaKodesh. There are no dreams in Megillas Esther, even when you would expect the dreams to pop through. But Laila Hu, you'd expect there to be a dream, as there are in Sefer Daniel, as there are to Nebuchadnezzar, as there is a partial dream to Belshazzar, there's an apparition, there's a hand on a wall writing some message. Hashem is still delivering messages, and for whatever reason, a sign of the decline of Hashem's presence in this world, there are no supernatural deliveries of information in Megillas Esther. The closest we come, there's a medrash that Mordechai has a dream telling him something about Haman's plan or something, but there's no Ruach HaKodesh. It's not what the Megillah is about. In fact, the Gemara struggles to prove that Esther was written by Ruach HaKodesh by people who composed it afterwards. Whenever Megillah's Esther was composed, as a machlokes, a famous brisker Rav, where the Megillah was written immediately and then only later become part of Kisvei HaKodesh, only part of Scripture, or whatever the story is, the Gemara struggles to prove that it was written by Ruach HaKodesh. The people who wrote it were then inspired by Hashem's Ruach, or by Hashem's Ruach, but by a supernatural Ruach delivered by Hashem. And the implication is that while they were going through the process, they didn't have Ruach HaKodesh, and it's pretty clear from the Megillah. And there are moments in the Megillah where you'd expect Hashem to be there. Famously, Revach V'Hatzala Ya'amod Lahiyudim Mimakom Acher, where Mordechai tells Esther, don't worry, there will be some other way for us to be saved, and he should be mentioning Hashem. Or Lech Kenosis Kol Ayhudim, go gather the Jews and go Davin Tajem, but that suffix doesn't appear. But Mordechai has an inkling, and that inkling is that Esther has been appointed queen for a reason, and that this is going to end favorably for Am Yisrael, that there will be intercession, and he doesn't know for sure, but he has confidence, and that confidence is conveyed when he says Revach V'Hatzala Ya'amod La'Yudim Makom Acher, and then he says Umi Odea Im La'Eis Kazos Ki Gat L'Malchus. Who knows? He says, if a time like this, or need, or opportunity like this, is the reason you were queened in the first place, and it's been bothering me for the last week or so. Why doesn't he say Umi Odea Im La'Eis Hazos He got L'Malchus? I think this is the time, the moment, the opportunity. Why does he say an opportunity like this rather than this is the moment? Im miyodea, im lo'eis hazos, he got L'Malchus. And to me, the answer is pretty obvious. That Mordechai has an inkling, Mordechai has an instinct, but he doesn't know for sure. And because he doesn't know for sure, he prefaces his statement, miyodea, who knows, rather than aniyodea, or rather than speaking about it with certainty. And he says, not la'is hazos, but la'is kazos. An opportunity like this, this may be the reason you were queened. This may be the time for your intervention. This may be, I'm not sure, miyodea. And it's an important lesson. I was speaking about this today. We have a Shabbaton as a Parsha Zachar. So speaking to some of the guests, there are a lot of guests here for Shabbos and Yeshiva. I think that some people aren't able to see the hand of Hashem in history, and aren't able to get that lift to see what's happening to our people as part of a higher narrative of Jewish history, of prophecy, of Hashem's presence in this world. It's so important to have that lift and to be able to know where this is heading and know where this is landing and draw confidence and faith and strength from that process. But on the other hand, you could be very overconfident. And since you know exactly what the Nevi'im say and exactly where Gaula is going to land and exactly what you think, what part of Tanakh this corresponds to, people can come across and say things that are very irresponsible, very insensitive. First of all, insensitive because there's real suffering taking place, and defaulting to ideology, or fleeing to ideology when people are suffering rather than meeting them at their moment of pain or at their place of pain is insensitive. But it's not just the insensitivity at a human level, it's the swagger, it's the prophetic swagger that I know exactly where this is heading. And it's so important to find that space where on the one hand, you know this is part of prophecy, you know this is part of Jewish history, you know this is not a political or geographical skirmish, and you know this is part of a larger narrative, But we don't really know the details, and we daven to Hashem, and we still don't know. And according to one day in Chazal, the reason Esther made the parties was that you shouldn't be too confident that they have Esther on the inside, and that she's going to save the day. So this is a decoy, that the Jews would think that Esther's colluding with Haman, their archenemy, or respecting Haman, and they'd continue to daven. So we know how it ends, but we don't know when it ends, and we don't know how torturous the road towards that end is. And therefore, we have to be very circumspect about the confidence with which we issue statements that create assurances and definite certainties about how this is all heading and where this is all, how this is all landing. And I think you get that cue from Mordechai. Well, Mordechai says, "Umiyodea im la'es kazos he got lemalchus." I don't know. Could be. He's querying. If a time like this, an opportunity like this, I don't know if this is the opportunity, and I don't know if you're going to save the day, and I don't know if at all there will be a rescue, but this could be the moment and the reason you were chosen, and therefore you have to assert yourself, and you have to intervene, even at the cost of personal peril. So just the thought I had over Shabbos, and Purim Sameach to everyone if you're listening to this. Everyone should have meaningful Purim and happy Purim, and find that space where the confidence that Chuasam Haisol Netzach B'Sikvasam B'Chol Dor V'Dor, where we find the assurance from Purim to navigate the difficult period that our people find themselves in.